Hey, Pastor John Aiken here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Faith Center podcast. We hope today's teaching will awaken and equip you to live out your God-given purpose. Enjoy.
I'm glad we worship a God that anything is possible for Him. Amen, amen. Again, thank you for being here. I promise you, Pastor John will be back next week. Pastor John and Sarah are with some family today. And I'm so honored again to be with you today. My name is Pastor Jeff, and my wonderful wife of almost 39 years, Lori. And we are honored to be here. We're from Paducah, Kentucky. I grew up in Reedland. You got a Reedland here? Played basketball for Reedland High School. I know that does not exist anymore. My wife went to Paducah Tillman, so like, you got any Paducah Tillman in here? So today, I want to talk about a subject that I believe not only the church, but America needs to grab a hold of. I want to talk today on the subject of indescribable love. I believe if there's one thing in the church today and one thing in America today is for us to realize the true definition of what love is. Love is an unconditional commitment to an imperfect person, but God even takes it further than that. That's for us. But what would happen if the church today, would really capture and have a love that we put out of these four walls, that we would take out, that looks like unconditional love that only Jesus can give us? What if the church would have a fresh baptism of love? What if they could see the church today with a love that they would desire, with a unity that they wanted, that they're looking for in life? And I believe post-COVID, I believe there's a lot of seekers out here looking for something, for someone, for something to be a part of. But they want the real thing. They don't want to play. They don't want just to come to church every Sunday and do their thing and then go home. They want something that they can grab a hold of that will change their life. What if they could see a true, indescribable love that God gives to us that we can give to them? There's nothing greater to have people in your life that love you, ready, just for you. They love you in your worst moments. They love you for not what you can give to them, for not what you do for them. They love you for just you. Just you. And how many would admit today that this love that I'm talking about in the realm of people that we know, this indescribable, unconditional love that I'm talking about, how many know that that could be a small circle around you? Unfortunately, a lot of people may say they love you, but what you will find out a lot of times is it's what you can give to them. That's why they're saying what they're saying. They want what you have, but many are not willing to pay the price to get what you have. So many times young pastors will say, I was teaching a class, a master level class at a university, and it was on servant leadership. And when I was talking to the students, which this is master level, so they should be a little bit mature at a university. So I was talking to them about servant leadership, and servant leadership means that I'm more about you and getting your needs met than I am me. And in this love that I'm talking about, we cannot give this love if we have not received it. Because the human flesh cannot produce the love that I'm talking about today. The human flesh can produce a fleshly love, which is conditional. That's what I'm talking about. It's a small group that's around you that loves you for you that is unconditional. At your worst moments, they're not going to walk away. No matter where you're at in your life, they're there. Do you ever, maybe it was college, high school, whatever else, but do you ever talk to someone you haven't talked to in 5 years and you just like pick up the conversation where you left off? You got them people in your life? Lori and I have experienced that as we have come back to Paducah so much, and we have experienced that because, you know, life gets so busy, but it's like you just pick up the conversation right where you left off. Because that's true love. No matter where you're at, no matter what's going on, I love you just for you. You know the incredible thing about Jesus' love? He loves you right where you're at. You cannot do more for him for him to love you more. You cannot be good enough for him to love you more. He loves you, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. He loves you right where you're at. And it may have been everything you could do to walk in these doors today. I mean, your week might have been messed up. Your morning might have been messed up. Especially the ones with kids. Come on, somebody. You've yelled at the kids. You kicked the dog. And like, I just don't know if we're even going this morning. But you made it. I want to show us in Scripture today the enormity of this love. And this is going to be a familiar scripture to many of you. But it's one of the great love stories in the Bible. And for some of you, I want you to look at this story, and hopefully God will help guide this journey this morning and look at it with fresh eyes. So I want you, so many of you that's been in church a long time, I want you to take off, well, I think I know what this means. Like, just take it off and read this thing fresh and allow fresh revelation to come to you, because it's an incredible love story. It's found in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 25. This whole time, we're going to be right in this story. If you guys walk with me, we're not going to be here long. But I believe that, and I know, listen, I've been doing this 39 years. I know there's children in here today. Let them go. It's like Pharaoh. They are not going to bother me. Okay. So Don't get all stressed out about that. Back in the old days, this is the way it was. I mean, I had to sit there. And we didn't have them cushion seats. Come on, somebody. I had them hard pews. Come on. Whew. You know, you sit there with your parents, and it was like, don't turn to the left or don't turn to the right, or you're going to get bopped on the head. Lord, thank you for delivering us. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. Now, think about this. This woman was in her own prison for 12 years. Lord, you haven't answered my prayer, and it's been a week. This woman had not had a physical touch for 12 years. Do I have any nurses in here? Yeah, I got some. One of our granddaughters, after she was born, went to the NICU unit. She was a preemie. And there's a couple, you know, when you're there for a while, you start paying attention to some things. And I noticed that there was a mom or two that never came up to the NICU unit. And one of them, I found out why. But my point of the matter is this. Do you know that they had to take turns rocking that baby? Why? Because that baby needed a physical touch to live. This lady, 12 years, nobody even touching her. Total isolation, constantly hearing death spoken over her life. Can you imagine just for 12 years, negativity after negativity, you're never going to make it. You're going to die. Can you imagine 12 years? We don't want anything to do with you. 12 years of this. Verse 26. And had suffered many things from many, many physicians. She spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Okay, so she spent all the money she had. She went to the doctors, spent all the money she had. You ever wonder why that sometimes maybe we should pray before we did anything else? She went to the doctors, which I have some incredible friends that are doctors. But she went and they couldn't figure it out. Not only did she go and go, she spent everything she had. And then she gets worse. Humanly, if we think about it, she's been given a death sentence. She's not going to get better. Her mind, her mental capacity at that moment had to be loss of hope. This is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. Verse 27. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. In that moment, lost hope. I don't know about you. Have you ever been to the bottom of a pit and you think you can't get out, and then suddenly, I mean, you're at that isolation point. You're at that point of, I can't take no more. It's like everything but your kitchen sink has been thrown at me, and then the kitchen sink comes. You ever been there? This lady heard that Jesus was coming. If she goes out to him, she could be stoned because she was unclean. She could not go out. But she hears he's coming. And she made up in her mind, I'm going to risk it all. What do I have to lose and what do I have to gain? What do I have to lose? I'm going to die anyway. This keeps on, I'm going to die. What do I have to gain? I have my life back. Not only can I go meet the healer, but I also can go meet the one that can bring me eternal life, just not life on this earth. I've got something, and so I'm going to risk it all. That's why I said, the choices we make in life make us. I think it's in your notes. The choices in our life make us. What do we have on this earth? Maybe you're here, maybe you're watching online today. What do you think about our relationship with Jesus? If you do not have one here today, let me ask you the same question. What do you have to gain and what do you have to lose? You've got everything to gain. You can pillow your head at night and say, if this is my last breath, I have no shadow of a doubt that I'm going to be in heaven. What do I got to lose? Well, I did the very best I could do. I tried to help people. I tried to serve people, and then that's just it. But ladies and gentlemen, I got a lot more to gain. And I don't know about you, but I'm not willing to take that chance. Because everything after 2,000 years, everything in the Word of God that we're reading from this morning has never been proven wrong. People, listen, we live in the most intelligent world ever. And they still can't prove it wrong. So tell me how you can say there is not a Jesus. Tell me how you can say with all the technology that we have, the brightest minds in the world, and they cannot find anything that is a contradiction to the Word of God, and what He did say has not come to pass. Listen, you don't have to look at the news. Just read your Bible and you can tell what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't need the news. I don't need that negativity. I know what's next because Jesus has told me in His Word what's to come. Why is this thing all messed up? Because it says in the last days. In the last days, people are going to have itchy ears. What does that mean? They don't want truth. Listen, love and truth goes together. Because if I love you, I'm going to tell you the truth. But here's the thing. When I do tell you the truth, I tell you in love, not in sarcasm. Because I don't know about you. But the Bible says that I'm supposed to go to somebody one-on-one, but I better make sure how I go to that person because I got stuff in my own life that needs to be cleared up, so I can't go in this holy of holies in this spiritual person. I got to go into him as a servant of Jesus Christ and say, I love you so much, I'm here today not to condemn you, not to judge you, because I'm not the judge. I am here today to love you and tell you Jesus has a plan for your life, and this ain't it. I'm telling you today, if we go to people in love, they will want to hear what we have to say. They don't want to hear sarcasm. They don't want to hear this holy spiritual piety thing. They want us to be real and say, you don't need to know 50 scriptures, but you do need to say, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. and that He can do in your life. Here she is. Can you picture this moment? She's in this isolation. She hears the spectators and everybody else talking about this Jesus. And she made up in her mind, I'm all in. They may kill me on the way, but hope has walked into this room. The doctors can't heal me. I'm tired of living alone. I'm tired of living in isolation. I'm tired of feeling this way. And she, so not to be noticed, she gets down as far as she can get. And, you know, the crowd is just incredible, but she's hoping if she can go low, they won't recognize her. So she gets down and she starts crawling. Can you imagine, ladies, help me with this. Can you imagine her strength level at this moment? If we would put it in medical terms today, you can imagine it, and medical people help me, but you can imagine that she's anemic right now. Imagine it. It's taken everything she has of the strength she has to start walking towards Jesus. She don't know exactly, because she's low, where He's at, but she's hearing the people and she's following the crowd and she's thinking to herself, I don't need to get in His face. I don't need, all I have to do is touch Him somewhere. See, many times the Lord wants us to go low before He can pick us up to go high. See, many times we're not willing to get to our knees where the power is. We would rather stand where the people can see us. But she didn't care, because she was dying. And so she's crawling through the crowd with every strength that she has. People knocking her over, people maybe even treating her, that scene of like, get out of here. But she's not paying attention to the people at this moment. She's paying attention to the assignment that's on her life. Sometimes you have to close your ears because people cannot handle where God's taking you. People can't handle it. There's some people that cannot handle your assignment that God has for your life. So let me say, be careful who you tell. Be careful who you tell. So if I can get to the lowest of the low and just touch the hem of His garment, I will be healed. Not I might be. Lord, I just hope that You can help me today. She didn't go like that. Well, it may work. Here she is, like she is, and she's saying, I will be if I can just get to Jesus and touch Him, not them. Listen, don't ever elevate men, elevate Jesus. You don't need my touch. You need His touch. You don't need some some pastor that's famous or anything. Lord Jesus, if this person just touch me, I'll be healed. Now you need one touch. Saul needed one encounter. Can you imagine a 30-second encounter with Jesus changed him from a Christian killer to an apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament? You tell me, my God is not a God that can't change you where you're at this morning. If you're watching online, there may be somebody watching online in your bed right now thinking suicide. In the name of Jesus, I'm telling you this morning, there's hope that's walking into your room right now. And his name is Jesus. And he can take you from where you're at to where he has a plan for your life. Quit listening to the devil. If I can just get to Jesus and touch him, I will be healed. Everybody else had a different agenda than her. They were glad to see him, but she was desperate to touch him. Sometimes they're just spectators, but sometimes there's true worshipers. Spectators say, I got to get my ticket punched because I live in the Bible Belt and I'm supposed to go to church. But I'll tell you, as soon as I can get out, I'm out. And especially when that crazy Pastor Jeff's speaking, I'm waiting for John to get back. I'm gone. Now, like, some people, it don't matter who's speaking. If they're preaching the word, if Jesus is being lifted up and they're not being lifted up, there's something special about that. She was desperate. She had a desperate need. Listen, every one of us have a desperate need with Jesus. It may be different in here today, but we all should come in with a desperation of just to get to know him even more. I don't want to be like I was last week. I want to be more. I want to be more like him going into next week. I want to be holy as he is holy. She had a different touch, verse 29. And immediately the fountain of her blood, immediately. Immediately. The foundation of her blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed from the affliction. I've experienced this for myself. And it was immediate. Not all are immediate. But I'm going to tell you. When you have an immediate moment with Jesus, you know it instantly. Like the warmth of the presence of God will come upon you. And you cannot doubt it. When doctors can't figure it out, when everybody else has walked out on you because they've given up on you, even when you have that immediate moment with the Lord and you walk out changed by his touch, some people won't believe it. The people that love you, I was talking about that unconditional love, they're the ones that will celebrate you not condemn you. Some people will celebrate you, but there are some who will tolerate you. I want to be with the celebration crew. I don't know about you. Verse 30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Jesus knew instantly that this touch was different. Many had been touching him, but power was released when she grabbed a hold of the very bottom of his garment. How is it different when you're in a powerful service and some leave, and before they hit the door, they're talking about sports, and some are just ruined for the day? How can that be the same service? The difference is, first of all, somebody has come in with an expectation of what God's going to do today. Second of all, we are desperate for God to show up in our life and for God to show up in our church. We're desperate. We're not satisfied until we see a holy movement of revival hit our church. We're not satisfied. Some of us in here has never seen a revival, a true revival. So we don't know what to expect. Well, I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's something I pray for every day. I do not want to take my last breath here until I see in the last days I will pour out my spirit. It's already been prophesied to us. All we have to do is be desperate enough to invite God into this place, allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, and say, "Lord, come. We'll drop our agenda. We'll drop everything we're doing because this is your house, and we're asking for an invasion of you. We're tired of man-made programs. We want the presence of God. We want a revival that will shake Paducah like it's never been shaken before." Y'all stirring me up. I said I wasn't going to preach today. Look in your notes where I said, here we see desperation birthed a miracle. Desperation. It's not a casual thing. She wasn't, I just hope, or it doesn't matter. Everybody will just leave me alone anyway. So I'm just going to go over there and try to touch Jesus, and hopefully something will happen. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Verse 31. But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" You know, I don't know about you, but I'm getting a little... There's a little something coming from the disciples right there. My thought is, have y'all lost your mind? That's Jesus. Jesus, what are you saying? You know, this is Jeff's commentary. What kind of question is that, Jesus? I think he had a little soul to it. You know, the head bobbing thing? Jesus, what kind of question is that? Everybody's touching you. But there was an indescribable love that was released to this woman. And even the disciples didn't catch it. She was wanting to be healed, but she got more than that. There was a touch that happened at that moment that has not happened for 12 years. She's out in society now. She's never been there for 12 years. She's around people. She hasn't been around people at all. There was more that happened than just our healing in that moment. Verse 33. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Faith. I can't see it. I can't see him, but I know he's real. Well, I don't know about all that faith stuff. I'm an analytical person that wants to figure everything out. Analytics will send you to a place and it's not called heaven. Faith says, well, what about this faith? Okay, how about this? Can you see the wind? Do you believe there's wind? Can't see it, but I know it's there. I can't see Jesus, but I can get up in the morning and see the creation that didn't come from a big bang. I can understand even from a scientific point of view that if there's billions of people here on this earth and everybody has a different DNA, there's no big bang did that one. That every day, I know I can't see Jesus, but I can see what he produces. And I know from my life, if he can do it for me, and he did it, he's the only one that could do it. You cannot, we can debate theology all the time, all along. And if you want to debate theology, go to seminary and spend thousands of dollars and they will debate with you. I went to seminary. I'm going to get in trouble. I went to seminary. Listen, we can debate that all day long, but here's the point. The point of the matter is, you cannot debate my experience. Not only do I have the Word of God to back me up, that touch that I had with Jesus, who saved my soul, who healed my body, who brought me out of a pit, who grabbed me in places that everybody else gave up on me, the one that loves me just as I am, not who other people want me to be. That Jesus is one that you cannot talk me out of. You can debate all day long, but when you've had the real thing, there's nothing else will satisfy you. People in my family like to buy generic drinks. If I want a Diet Mountain Dew, there's some things that you just got to have the real thing. I can budge on some other things. I don't know how I got on that. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. I'm going to close with this.
You can put your Bibles on.
All of us in here today want peace in our life. What produces peace? Well, Jesus, because it's an attribute of Him. But what else? Your choice is a good one. That's right. Your choice is can make peace or chaos. But here's something to think about. Even in trials and chaos and tribulation, with the Holy Spirit living inside of me, and a fruit of the Spirit is peace, joy, long-suffering. So peace and joy is already in me. Now listen, I'm not talking about being happy. That's an emotional experience that comes and goes. Joy is something that no one, no circumstance can take away from you because it's in you. So if I pray and say, God, you know what's going on right now. I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. I'm miserable. Everything else is going on in my life. How am I going to get that joy? By tapping into Him and saying, Lord, give me the joy of my salvation. Restore in me. And I'm telling you, you'll start seeing a shift in your mind. When you seek the Lord, listen, it's not a time to have a pity party. It's not time to get on Facebook and tell everybody about what's going on in your life. Listen, we all got stuff. Or tell everybody you're going on vacation. Everybody wants to go. Y'all pray for me. I'm going to Florida.
Lord, help me. Pastor John, I'm sorry.
Peace, joy is in my relationship with Jesus. That's the only one that can give me what I need and want. It's not through another relationship on earth. We look, as you've heard, in all the wrong places. If I could just have that, I would have joy. Don't work. Because it's never enough. Because we're wanting it out of the flesh. And only the Spirit can provide what we need in that moment. She was provided peace that she did not have for 12 years. 12 years. Let me close with this verse. You don't need to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another. And for love will cover a multitude of sins. Listen to me. This is the last fill in the blank. We are not called to fix people. We are called to love people. I can't fix you. I can't fix you. But one thing I can do, even if you don't want it, I can love you right where you're at. And by me loving you, even though you don't want to be around me right now, because you don't want truth, I'm still going to love you. And do you find it ironic that when you do come around, or when they come around, who do they come back to? Every time, man. You'll see that phone pop up and say, whoop, they ready. I'm not their Holy Spirit. We get mad and upset over things that we cannot change. But through prayer, and through loving them, not out of the flesh, but out of the Spirit, Now, let me say this. I'm not going to enable them. But I'm going to love them right where they're at and know that I am always there for them when they're ready for their immediate moment. No matter where we're at this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you start playing, Jimmy. No matter where they're at this morning, no matter where we're at, man, Jesus loves us just for us. Well, you say, you know what? I've been gone too long. You ever heard people say, if I walk in the doors, the ceiling's going to fall or whatever? I've never seen that happen, but, well, there's just a bunch of hypocrites at church. Well, there's a bunch of hypocrites at the grocery market, but you still go there. You know, don't give me that. Hey, we're all just made out of mud. Sinners saved by grace. Sinners saved by the blood of the Lamb. I got my own stuff. But because of His grace and mercy, He washes me clean. He washes me clean. There's a song that many of us have sang called Reckless Love. His love is so amazing that people have trouble accepting it. The greatest love story of all times happened on the cross. He didn't have to go. But love kept him on the cross when he could have called down angels from heaven to rescue him. But he said, it's not about me. It's about fulfilling the will of the Father. See, that's what love does. When you're in an intimate love relationship with somebody, it's not about you anymore. It's about serving. That's what Jesus called us to do. So this morning, there's a man named Jesus. And He's given everything to you. Everything. Nothing more He could do, because He said, sit down at the right hand of the Father after the resurrection and showing Himself to about 500 people. And then He came up and He sat down. And He said, that means everything we need has already been provided for us. Isn't that awesome? We do not lack of anything. So He died and He rose again out of love. So I want you to look at it this way. Love gives. So this morning, symbolically, Jesus is standing here and He says this to us. I love you. I love you with a love that you can't even imagine. I loved you so much that I never want to be away from you again. So, through me dying on the cross and resurrecting on the third day, through what I did for you, I gave you a chance to spend eternity with me, because I love you that much. So, this morning, out of my love, and love gives, I want to give you a gift. But listen to me. This is what Jesus cannot do. He cannot come up and take the gift for you. Listen to me. If you'll just do me a big favor, this is just Pastor Jeff's thing. Unless it's an emergency, please do not leave. There's souls at stake. It's not a business deal. We can go get another business deal, but we're never going to meet like this again. There's souls at stake. And so I ask you this morning, if you are here and you have never accepted Christ into your life, it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. We are here to choose. Because we're going to serve some. And so I ask you this morning, will you come and take the gift? I don't know if I believe all that. What do you got to gain? What do you got to lose? He's never been proven wrong. You're not an accident. You're not who people described you to be. You're a son, you're a daughter that he loves and wants to give you a gift today. I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Just stand with your heads bowed, please. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, today, man, I just feel, I mean, my heart is beating. I've been there. And I know Jesus is speaking to me today. I know he's at work in my life today. And I know God's using you to speak to me today. And Jeff, I have never received this gift that God has for me. Because when you receive the gift, you will not remain the same. You became a new creation in Christ. You desire the things of Jesus and not the things of the desires of the world. Are you going to be perfect? No. But your desires will change. Your wants will change. Jeff, I need this gift today. I want to accept the gift that Jesus has for me today. If that's you today, I want you just to look up at me right now. You can put it down. Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking all over, upstairs, downstairs. Thank you. Upstairs, downstairs. Thank you. Would say the second question is, how many would say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus today, and I needed this message of hope today. I needed to know that. Let me just put it this way. I need a new baptism of the love of Jesus on me today. I need that today. I need to go low and meet Jesus or wrap my arms around him today and say, Jesus, here I am. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. But I love you. And watch him today. Love you back. And when you leave here, you're going to be different than the way you walked in. you've not gone too far. Have me be honest enough to say, Pastor, I am saved, but I need that fresh baptism of love in my life, man. I'm not where I need to be. But I want to experience the joy of my salvation again. I may say, Jeff, when you're praying, pray for me. Why don't you just look up at me right now? Thank you. All over. I see you. All over. Yes, I see you. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up. And I'm going to pray. The worship team's going to sing. Anyone that looked at me, or maybe more, just need Jesus, either for eternal life, for salvation, or just a fresh baptism of love. I'm going to ask you to come in just seconds. Listen, we're never going to meet like this again. This is your moment. This is your divine moment. So, Father, right now, in the name above every name, Holy Spirit, fall. Soften hearts, convict hearts. May your love be expressed out in this place today. May souls be saved, God, snatched right out of hell. And may your people, your sons and daughters who have struggled, may they come back and allow you to love on them today. You're our daddy, and daddy says, I love you. Just let me love you. The love that you need this morning. Father, move in this place. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Worship team, if you looked at me, I want you to come right now. I'll meet you here. Prayer team's here. Let's go. Let's come. Let's take this gift today.
Thanks again for listening to the Faith Center podcast. To connect with us, go to faithcenter.tv and fill out our connection card. We pray blessings over you and your family. We'll see you next time.